Greetings, Earthlings, and welcome to Are You For Real? My name is Tom, and with me, as always, is Grant.
Salutations.
We have got another amazing episode for you guys today. It's going to be a little on the lighthearted side, a little jovial, a little, just a fun one, sounds like. Grant has been doing some research into different kinds of alleged aliens that have visited our planet. He's got a lot of information about that. So this is most likely going to be the first part in a multi-part episode. Just a heads up for you guys. So, Grant, why don't you take it away?
Heck yeah. So, this one's probably a little more loosey-goosey. I mean, as you'll see, there's not actually a lot of hard evidence to go on as far as the, as far as what extraterrestrials are visiting the planet Earth.
Mm. And to be fair, there's hard evidence is kind of a hard thing to come by in the UFO community a lot of the times.
True.
And the hard evidence that is around sometimes turns out to be something that's completely explainable.
Right. I mean, there's been, there actually are plenty of videos of aliens and everything online, but usually they look pretty computer animated, you know,
man-made aliens.
Right. And you know, like illegal aliens and stuff like that crossing the border and stuff. But, Tom's grimacing.
Oh,
okay. I don't want to trigger anyone or anything, but, no, I'm just kidding. I'm using bad puns here, but, you know, and then for some reason, there doesn't seem to be a lot of coherence between different web pages as to what extraterrestrial species there are out there.
Mm-hmm.
There is some coherence, honestly, but, you know, I mean, I'm sure you're aware of some of them. You know, there's just mythology, basically, is what it comes off as. But some of these explanations get pretty detailed. So
cool. The only ones I'm familiar with are like the Greys, which we probably are going to get into at some point.
I would imagine. Yeah. That's a biggie. And actually, I don't want to give anything away here. But
ooh.
Well, now I just feel like I'm building it up, but they're not actually gray.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
They should be called the Greens.
It's just a clever name. It's not very descriptive. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, if you remember, we discussed the Allagash abduction event, and I mentioned that the creatures seem to resemble the common mantis alien type.
Yeah.
Were you familiar with mantis aliens besides Space Ghost? I mean, that's the only time I saw it.
Brack? No, yeah. No. That the Allagash one was the first time I've heard about the insect. They're almost insectoid looking.
Right, right. Yeah. I said it was a common type just because more than a few articles that I read while researching the story mentioned that the mantis alien was a common type. But then when I pulled up the different lists of the different extraterrestrials visiting Earth, none of them mentioned the mantis alien. So I don't know where this info comes from. That being said, we'll probably look into that type too, because I did find a crazy page talking about that, which I want to go over with you. You know?
Sweet.
But that'll be in the future here. However, there seems to be, like I said, some agreement on some of the major alien races or species, and I figured it'd be fun to take a look at them. And maybe these episodes can offer some useful context as we continue to look at abduction scenarios in the future.
Sure.
We must not be afraid to speculate.
Right. And I think a lot of this evidence, it sounds like a lot of very detailed speculation, a lot of this stuff. But,
sure.
We'll see what you think, what your take is on it.
Of course.
So I first started taking UFOs more seriously when I heard that in 2005, the former Canadian Minister of National Defense, Paul Hellyer, announced that different world governments were in contact with at least four different alien species while a guest speaker at an exopolitics conference in Toronto. And exopolitics is basically the politics of space. So that's pretty big news. You know, I don't know.
What was his title again?
He was the Canadian Minister of National Defense. And that was a while ago. Like, I don't want to give wrong facts, but like in the 60s, I think, 60s or 70s. So it was a while ago. So, you know, as your big eyes attested to your big, beautiful eyes. This is pretty stunning information coming from a high-ranking military official, to say the least. And researching this further, I realized that Hellyer didn't really seem to have too much firsthand, top-secret information which led him to believe this or anything. His views seemed mostly based on his own speculation from his own research after his political career was already over.
Okay, so he wasn't part of this. He wasn't sitting around having a chat with four different races of aliens himself.
I mean, yeah, he seems... he seems, from what I can tell, that he's just kind of a UFO enthusiast, much as you or me would be. And he kind of came to some of his own conclusions from reading books. And maybe, I mean, he might have talked to some people like General Corso or you know, he probably talked to some high-ranking individuals.
Well, truthful or not, that's an intriguing hypothesis right there.
Well, Hellyer's since gone on to host a Reddit Ask Me Anything session or forum. You familiar with those?
I am.
Yeah,
okay. I am.
And also did a TV interview for RT, which is a Russian news show. Hellyer's claims about the different species and his supporting evidence are somewhat vague. He basically just talks about different books that you can read on the subject as far as evidence. Hellyer also claims that the Star of Bethlehem is, quote, one of God's UFOs, unquote.
And wait, what?
That's what a lot of the commenters said on the video on YouTube.
But, okay. So the Star of Bethlehem, like when it appeared, like when Jesus showed up, that was a God UFO.
Yeah. She was asking him what the appearance was, and he said, yeah, they kind of look like bright stars or something. But he did say it was one of God's UFOs, which is kind of interesting wording. So I'm not sure exactly what that means. They didn't go into too much detail on that idea, but, it's a good pull quote, I think, at least. But so he seems to speculate quite specifically about how the aliens think. In my opinion, he can start to sound like your average YouTube commenter, which is kind of what I was just saying, who claims to have expansive knowledge of what extraterrestrials' points of views are. Let me give you an example of the way he talks about the subject from an article I found covering the interview. The link to the article is in the show notes, as always, and the article also includes the video of the whole interview if our listeners want to see the whole thing. So, quote, Mr. Hellyer said, in one of the cases during the Cold War, 1961, there were about 50 UFOs in formation flying south from Russia across Europe. The Supreme Allied Commander was very concerned and was about ready to press the panic button when they turned around and went back over to the North Pole. They decided to do an investigation, and they investigated for 3 years, and they decided that with absolute certainty that four different species at least have been visiting the planet for thousands of years. Mr. Hellyer alleged the alien species traveled to Earth from different star systems. Many are benign and benevolent, and a few are not. They come from various places. For a long while, I only knew about the ones that came from different star systems, the Pleiades. There are extraterrestrials that come from Andromeda and ones that live on one of Saturn's moons. There's a federation of these people, and they have rules. One of them is that they don't interfere with our affairs, unless they are invited. And in a dire threat, Mr. Hellyer said, the alien visitors have tried to warn the human race about the way civilization is headed and alleged the United States has spent billions of dollars on so-called black projects. Mr. Hellyer said, decades ago, visitors from other planets warned us about the direction we were heading and offered to help. Instead, some of us interpreted their visits as a threat and decided to shoot first and ask questions later. It is ironic that the U.S. should be fighting monstrously expensive wars, allegedly to bring democracy to those countries, when it itself can no longer claim to be called a democracy, when trillions, and I mean thousands of billions of dollars, have been spent on black projects which both Congress and the Commander-in-Chief have been kept deliberately in the dark, end quote.
Sheesh.
Yeah, so...
He's got a flair for the dramatic.
Yeah, that's true. He might not have said it. He's actually a kind of gentle guy in the interview. I might have been emphasizing it a little wrong there, but yeah. So he goes into what do you call that? Like sociopolitics.
Yeah. And right. These are so. A couple things. The 50 UFOs in formation, was he implying that? Do we know how many different races of aliens were in those 50, or was that just assumed to be one race of aliens?
Yeah, I mean, he goes into that. I mean, he's not really sure which. I mean, he wasn't saying which race it was or anything like that. Now, they never identified themselves or anything.
Also, he said that most are benevolent, some are not.
Right.
What about the knots? any idea on those?
Well, he doesn't elucidate on that too much.
Because if they weren't benevolent, I have a feeling that we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now.
True that. But maybe he's just referring to abductees such as the Allagash abductions or, you know, taking people against their will.
Oh, okay.
That's not the most benevolent act.
It is not.
You know.
It isn't. So benevolent in that they're willing to let us kind of, they're willing to observe us, not perform experiments on us.
I guess, man. Honestly, it's kind of open to interpretation. That's what I'm saying. He's kind of vague, but he goes over some broad ideas, you know. I mean, to be fair, the interviewer kept kind of cutting him off and then would redirect the conversation. And she seemed a little bit skeptical herself.
Well, it's only natural, I suppose.
Right. It was really entertaining looking at all the YouTube comments, as usual, because people were taking sides. And
did it just devolve into a no way, man? Or
a lot of people seemed to think she was being very rude to him. But,
well,
I don't know. I didn't read it that way too much. But
did anyone get called a sheep or a sheeple or anything?
I don't recall that specifically, but
okay.
Yeah, people get into it about, like,
that's how you know it's real bad, when people start throwing around either sheeple or Nazi.
Right.
those are the okay.
Well, the species that Hellyer specifically mentions in the interview are the Nordics, the Tall Whites, and the Greys. And we'll go into more detail on these different species a little bit later here. Another event that inspired further research into the UFO phenomenon for me was when I came across a list of alien species that were visiting the Earth a few years ago. So basically, I was just clicking around on some strange website, you know. I started going to this thing where I've kind of talked about it before, maybe on like the first episode, our little introductory episode, you know, just like start looking at UFO conspiracies and stuff, which, you know, inspired the idea for this, because there's some cool stories out there. But then I came across this page, and I guess I wasn't really aware of how deep the rabbit hole could go at the time. And it fascinated me that there were people out there that felt they could actually catalog the different beings that were visiting the Earth, since it seemed to be such a mysterious subject.
Yeah.
I was really intrigued by the different species and all of the background information on them. And I couldn't help but wonder if there is actually enough information out there to actually piece this information together, if it is just kind of, you know, fan fiction or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not necessarily fan fiction, but kind of made up.
Well, no, I think that's a good, that's a very apt name for it right there. I think it could turn into that real quickly. If, like, for instance, if somebody thinks they had an encounter with a mantis alien or something.
Right. Like, how many stories are there that
people could just take that and run with it, essentially?
Exactly. Yeah. we'll probably get into that in a little more detail once we look at some of these examples. But I did wonder, you know, it fascinated me, the idea that there could be, you know, if you looked at a bunch of different, you know, did like your own Project Blue Book, if all of a sudden you're like, wait, these things all match, these descriptions, you know, which you hear a lot. So far, with all the research I've done so far, it seems like all of them are kind of unique, you know.
All of what are kind of unique?
The different creatures that are described. Okay. I mean, there's kind of like a vague gray thing, but they're, even them, the descriptions don't exactly match, which there could be a reason for, obviously.
So, looks like, you know, if these things in fact do exist, there are several different species.
Yeah, I guess. Or it's just like all made up stuff or delusions, you know. But, I don't know. I'm just saying, you can't really make that many conclusions about the different species from these different descriptions, you know. On the other hand, a lot of them do seem to be like small creatures with big heads and big eyes or wraparound eyes and stuff like that. But then,
which is humanoid in a way.
Right.
If you think about
Definitely. Anyway, I'm just kind of speculating out loud. You know, I don't really have a point with that or anything. So as I write here, it seems to me, after doing just a little bit of research, that most UFO events and abduction stories seem to be pretty unique when it comes to the different craft and beings that people see. So if all these stories are true, then there must be quite a few different types of creatures visiting us, like you just said, which could be. I mean, maybe the universe is teeming with life and, you know, we have a beautiful planet here and maybe there's, you know, a bunch of scientists that want to come by. Who knows?
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about how vast the universe is. It's pretty much beyond human comprehension, how big everything is.
Totally. It's hard to comprehend how big the sun is, you know?
Yeah. Really. Yeah. And there's a really cool picture of the sun floating around on the internet. If you guys haven't seen that.
Oh yeah.
I should
try and find that again and put it.
Yeah. Put that in the show notes. But, I was just thinking, you mentioned Saturn's moons. Saturn has a moon called Titan, which I think some scientists have thought could be habitable for life, not human life, obviously, but primitive life. And I know that Europa, one of Jupiter's moons, I think that's the one that's covered in ice. And it's either Titan or Europa that's covered in ice. And it's speculated that there's liquid water underneath it or some kind of liquid substance which could harbor life of some kind. Obviously, I don't think that aliens are coming right here from either of those places. But it just speaks to the possibility of,
I was thinking about
life,
about,
you know,
that, like,
and that's just in our solar system.
Right. Right.
Just our solar system.
Well, that's because scientists, from what I understand, they seem to believe that liquid water would be one of the things that a planet would need for life to kind of develop. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about that. Then wouldn't it be reasonable to speculate that most intelligent creatures would be like, their atmosphere would actually be in liquid, or you know what I mean? Or, I guess we'd have to look at different planets to really figure that out.
Yeah. For all we know, Earth is the anomaly that has land, because there are several intelligent creatures, highly intelligent creatures, on Earth that live, in our oceans, whales and dolphins, octopus are thought to be octopi.
Yeah.
Thought to be really intelligent just because of the sheer amount of brain power it takes to be able to camouflage themselves rapidly. A lot of them. And that's just on our planet.
So. I would think that's more reflexive than, or do you think, that's all speculative, I guess.
Well, they're excellent problem solvers too.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
do you know if they have like communication skills with each other?
Octopi? Yeah. I don't.
But then even whales, like they do these complicated songs, which could be a language. I mean,
right.
Now I'm getting to Star Trek.
Right. I'm getting into Cosmos, Carl Sagan Cosmos territory.
Well, that's a little more legitimate, I think, than Star Trek. But anyway, it's fascinating to think about. Obviously, we must not be afraid to speculate, but it's hard.
We must be careful.
It's hard to
distinguish speculation from scientific fact.
I mean, it's hard to speculate on life forms that we're not familiar with, too. So
right.
But anyway, I just thought that was an interesting idea. Like, has anyone been abducted and then there's creatures that are in water? I mean, because it is strange that most creatures seem to be able to breathe the same atmosphere as humans, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it could be spacesuits or who knows. So maybe we'll get some answers here if we keep going.
I sure hope so. Let's keep digging.
But I have to say, so far, I haven't seen anything about any amphibious aliens or anything. So basically, I mean, where would you go if you were trying to find an authority on what extraterrestrials were visiting the Earth?
Where would I go?
Because the U.S. government sure ain't going to tell you that right now. No, so I figured the authority would basically be MUFON, you know, or that's a good place to start.
Yeah, I think that's a good jumping off point. I would also look at just stories of abductions that individual people have had, but it's hard to call that an authority.
Right.
You know, I don't know if there is an authority.
Well, I decided to start with MUFON, or the, you know, Mutual UFO Network, who we've mentioned quite a few times, since they seem to be the largest organization that I know of that has been collecting and archiving data and case studies for UFO events or encounters. Now, I don't know if it's just that the MUFON website isn't really the place to go for information like this, or to get information from them, but the information there was pretty limited. All they really had was a page titled Accounts of Alien Beings that had about six paragraphs in it. The comment section on the page was much longer than the actual content. Here's the first couple of paragraphs from the page. Quote, sightings or encounters with alien beings have been reported for centuries. The concept of humanoids who do not reside on Earth yet have very similar... the concept of humanoids who do not reside on Earth yet have very similar physical attributes and possibly superior technologies has long held our interest. To date, there have been 9 different types of such aliens that range from Andromedans, the Flatwoods Monster, Greys, Hopkinsville Goblins, Little Green Men, Nordic Aliens, Reptilians, Sirians, and Anunnaki.
Sirians?
However, most modern encounters have been reported with Greys, such as the alien encounters surrounding Area 51. End quote. So, are you familiar with any of those races? Not the Syrians.
How do you spell Syrian? Like, as in Syria?
Basically, no. It's more like Siri, actually, like the star, you know?
Oh, S-I-R-I-A-N-S?
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. not to be confused with people who live in Syria. Okay. Gotcha.
Those Syrian aliens.
I think we might have discussed the Nordic ones.
Yeah, we brought them up before.
Yeah, was that Handsome Dan or Valiant Thor? That's it.
Handsome Dan. I don't know. I'm not sure what species he was.
I think Valiant Thor would be classified as a Nordic.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
it seems like there's, from what I've seen so far, there's a few different kind of ones that just look like humans. So we'll get into that in more detail, definitely. I'm only partway through the research as we record this, so a lot of this is still mysterious to me, honestly.
Cool.
So anyway, it's just funny that they say there's 9 different types of such aliens to date. I don't know how they qualify these things. So let me continue.
I guess 9 have been reported, or 9 different types have been reported, and they've tried to classify them.
Right.
I guess so. They could into general categories.
I guess so. Or maybe those are the only ones they have actual proof of, or something. Or,
well, I'd love to see that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not being serious when I say that because I don't think they do. Especially when we get into. Are you familiar with the Flatwoods Monster?
I'm not.
Okay. Well, we'll discuss it here in more detail coming up. But let me finish with the quote from that page. And quote, in this section, MUFON reprints articles from reliable sources that chronicle alien encounters or report on congressional hearings and eyewitness testimony regarding now unclassified information. Of particular interest will be the account of Richard French, a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel who in 2013 at the age of 83 testified on Capitol Hill to the citizens hearing on disclosure panel, end quote. Then they give a brief explanation of Richard French's story, followed by a few more paragraphs giving some general information about disclosure. It's kind of a confusing jumble and doesn't give any real information about how they decided that there are these 9 species of aliens that they have listed. There also doesn't seem to be any real articles or anything to follow up with for more information, even though they say we're going to list articles here. Unless there's
just haven't gotten around to that yet.
Yeah, I guess not. The only other thing they have on the page besides the comment section is a video of Richard French telling a brief story about seeing some craft and beings. It's actually a pretty interesting story, but also seems a little fantastic. We have nothing really to go off of besides besides French's testimony. Let me read you his account from an article from Huffington Post as posted on the site nexusnewsfeed.com. So quote, when Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Richard French was an alleged lead investigator of Project Blue Book in the 1950s, his job was to shoot down false reports of UFOs. Given his job, French never dreamed he'd end up in Newfoundland one day, watching what appeared to him to be two extraterrestrials performing repairs on a submerged, unknown circular craft. In Washington, D.C. recently, the 83-year-old retired officer testified at the citizen hearing on disclosure panel of six former members of Congress about his work as a UFO debunker in 1952. French recounted how the Newfoundland incident unfolded decades ago. In the early 1950s, after two UFOs were seen by many people off the coast of St. John's, French's superiors ordered him to look into the situation. They said, "We have a UFO report and we want you to investigate it." And that was standard for what I was doing, French told the Huffington Post. They told me there were two of them involved and that they were deep under the water, after entering the water doing roughly 100 miles an hour. There were a lot of people assembled on the wharf, at least 100 standing around just looking in amazement at the water, including several local policemen. French recalls the water was very clear, and he could see two circular craft, each one about 18 feet in diameter and approximately 3 feet thick. He said the two objects were floating below the surface of the water, a couple of feet apart, not more than 20 feet from the shore. And he saw two beings in the water near the ships. The first thing I saw was UFOs, and it was apparent to me that they were doing something to the craft. I couldn't really tell what because they were on the bottom side of it and not visible to me except when they would occasionally get over to the side where I could see them. The water was fairly clear and I could see without any trouble. They weren't down at the bottom of the seabed. They were about halfway down.
So, sorry to interrupt. This was in the 50s that this happened?
Yeah, 1952, I think it was.
Okay. And this is off the coast of Newfoundland in Canada.
Right. St. John's Bay, I guess, or
okay.
Cove, maybe. I looked at a picture of it. It's pretty clear. It reminded me of like a bay in like Waikiki Bay or
Hanauma Bay.
Hanauma Bay, yeah.
Down in Hawaii.
Looked a lot like that. So clear water, you know. But yeah, when I'm done reading it here, we'll discuss it here. So French told, and this is back in quotes here, French told HuffPost that the two beings he saw were about 2 or 3 feet tall, light gray in color, very thin, long arms with either 2 or 3 fingers. The top of their heads were much wider than their jawline. Their eyes were very slanted and you couldn't see pupils in them. They looked the way aliens have been depicted in motion pictures. As the Air Force UFO debunker watched, he claims one of the ships began to rise out of the water. When it hit the surface, it was going about 100 miles an hour. It then accelerated to somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,500 to 3,000 miles an hour and disappeared. It returned about 20 minutes later, slowed down to nearly a stop before it entered the water, then went down and the two beings worked together. It took about 20 minutes and then the two ships departed together. Again, slow when they exited the water and immediately they sped up to a very high speed. I believe they were repairing the ship and tested of the repairs had been adequate, and then away they went. Ironically, French's job at the time as a Project Blue Book investigator was to debunk UFOs. So what kind of report did he file with Blue Book about this case he had personally witnessed? Needless to say, it was a fictitious report, as all of them were. I didn't really say that they were UFOs. I said that there was something we didn't know, some type of foreign or unrecognizable vehicle there. In other words, I weasel worded it. Oh, I think without a doubt it was a UFO, and I think there were aliens aboard it. There's no question in my mind that was exactly what it was, and my duty was to debunk the story, so I did my best to do so. The events of the Newfoundland UFO and alleged aliens took place some 60 years ago, in the days before everyone had a digital camera or image capture cell phone in their pocket. Despite the fact that there were no photographs to substantiate the report, it's still an amazing story. So what are we to make of this? Because it's not the first time French has stirred up the UFO ET pot. Last year, he told HuffPost exclusively that there wasn't just one UFO crash near Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. He said there were two.
What?
End quote. So some pretty crazy claims there, huh?
Yeah. You know what? I was thinking about this the other day in terms of oceans. You know, we've explored, we as a species have explored very little in terms of the ocean.
Yeah.
We just haven't had the resources or the technology to do like a real in-depth exploration of majority of our oceans. And I understand that we've explored, we have, I don't want to, at the risk of misspeaking, I think we've mapped out more of our universe than we've mapped out our own oceans or something along those lines. Does that make sense? Like we have,
yeah, that seems crazy though.
Yeah, it does seem crazy. But the thing is like we, in terms of when I say mapped out our own oceans, I mean like the bottom of them and right. everything. So it wouldn't surprise me if UFOs have been here, and there have been and assuming that there have been UFO mishaps, it wouldn't surprise me if we found some UFOs, on the bottom of the ocean floor, if they haven't like disintegrated
right.
in time and everything like that. The oceans seem like a natural place to
obviously
where accidents would happen.
Yeah. I mean, obviously this idea has been around for a while, right?
Sure.
And if they can travel through space, then why couldn't they just sit at the bottom of the ocean? I mean, maybe the pressure is a little different or something, but you know, if these things where physical limitations don't seem to apply, like they could easily just go hide down there.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be able to touch them if they go, 100 feet down or something. Right. Obviously it was explored in the movie, The Abyss, that we grew up with, but it's probably, I mean, that's like a classic film now, right. Or an oldie.
Yeah.
It's an old talkie. But yeah, that's an amazing idea. Right. I mean, it's just a crazy thing to think about. But you're right. Like,
they could essentially hide, They could use the ocean as like a secondary base, I guess.
I want to do a really good, you know, find a good USO or unidentified submerged object story. Cause I've heard a lot of them. And, the thing with those is like, there's not a lot to go off of except, oh yeah, something moving,
something blasted into the water, something blasted out of the water. Something.
Right. But even the Fravor story kind of has something under the water.
Yeah.
Mysterious or a mysterious shape that he saw and radar returns from under the water, you know, or sonar returns.
So back to Mr. French's story. He said he saw the two they were grayish and they're,
yeah, he described them as your typical movie ones, you know, 2 to 3 feet tall, light gray in color, very thin, long arms with either 2 or 3 fingers, top of their head, much wider than their jawline.
And did he see them inside the craft?
No, that's the funny thing is like, so I mean, he said, you know, he could only see them when they were facing towards him, but I don't know what, did they just leave him down there? Or did he see how they went in or out of the craft? I mean, I got to say this story seems a little too good to be true. I can't even picture like what he said. What did he say? It was like 20 feet away from them so he could see them well, but he's counting their fingers. He could see that there was he couldn't see pupils in their eyes when they're underwater in the ocean. Like
yeah,
no matter how clear the ocean is, I mean, how much detail can you really make out?
Yeah.
I would like to know Mr. French.
Yeah.
But he's testifying to Congress, so he must be true. So do you think this might be some kind of Richard Doty situation maybe?
Well, he was in the business of debunking stuff for a long time. So it wouldn't surprise me. As soon as you said, as soon as you started talking about him, I was like, Doty.
Right. And for our listeners that haven't heard that episode on Mirage Man, he's the subject of Mirage Man, where he was definitely paid or told, he definitely lied on behalf of the U.S. military, U.S. government to citizens. So
yeah, Richard Doty is a counterintelligence officer. But yeah, check out our Mirage Man episode if you haven't already.
And yeah, it's really hard for me to take that story seriously just because, I mean, these details that he could see from.
Yeah. And in the 50s, I've seen footage of people from the 50s, like UFO people from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And there were all sorts of stories about
right.
like people were like joining UFO cults. And there was actually still one of them operating in El Cajon right now. It's called Unarius Academy, which is just not too far from where.
Right, I've seen
Grant,
that.
Grant and I live. There are people who, in the 50s, people were saying like, yeah, I got taken to Venus. And, you know, I took a ride last night to Venus and it was really fun. And I was speaking with the Venusians. And I mean, now we know that there's no possible way that there could be any kind of life on Venus.
Right.
None whatsoever. It's like,
have you heard of Adamski? I think his name was
George. I have.
And he's from San Diego too, actually, or Mount Palomar. I think he was set up at.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. I didn't know that.
And he was famous for having a photo of a UFO, which I think turned out to be like a kerosene lantern and some light bulbs or something.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But that seems like a golden age where people were just aware enough of science and space, and there was all those sci-fi movies and everything.
Right. And the Roswell thing had happened in 47. So I think that really, that was the catalyst, I think.
Right.
For a lot of people anyway.
Yeah. And a lot of news stories probably popping up to sell magazines or whatever. Just kind of a golden era for that. And I kind of realized it, but I didn't realize how, like, all this stuff that we're looking at now, it's kind of like people have been through that before with waves of UFO sightings, and it's hard to know how seriously to really take them, you know?
Well, it's neat now that we do have all sorts of, we have better camera technology.
Right.
I had hoped that with the advent of cell phone camera technology that there would be more photos and videos.
But again, cell phone, I mean, they're not good for taking photos of things like
that. No, not long distance stuff, of course, but
still, yeah, you'd think there might be something.
You'd think there would just be like a ton.
Well, then it's, I mean, there are some pretty crazy videos on there, but you don't know if their computer or what kind of editing's been on there. So that's the other
sword.
Yeah, it is a double-edged sword. So anyway, that's kind of interesting. And
I don't give Mr. French's story too much credit.
Especially 100 people there, not one person had a camera or anything, you know, unless he confiscated it. Maybe if he said that. And he even said in his testimonial that, I lied then, you know. So it's like, he's either lying now or he lied then, but either way, he's a liar. So,
well, I'm glad that he at least had the intestinal fortitude or testicular fortitude, whatever you want to call it, to testify in front of Congress. And I would just like to see some documentation of it. That would be cool.
I don't know. It seems like he's trying to kind of milk this story in his position that he used to have.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
In his old age, but who knows? Let's see here. We're at 37 minutes. Should we do kind of a shorty episode here? And then we can pick up next week on some of these alien species and start going into them. Cause I've got a bit of material on them here.
Sure.
We'll do kind of a short one, and then I think the next episode will be pretty lengthy here.
Yeah.
You got any plugs or anything?
I don't think so, man. Okay. I tried to put plugs in my ears, and they got infected.
Oh, ouch. Sorry I brought it up.
Bad, bad, bad.
Anyway, guys, thanks for sticking with us. You know, this is going to be a fun ride here.
Over these next couple episodes for sure.
Yeah. So we'll talk to you next week. Take care of yourselves.
Love you.
Bye.